reading books to become spiritual. You've got to do a lot of meditating. But there are many things you can do that the Spirit is waiting to do for you. And I think one of the most important is the questions that you ask the Spirit. For instance, I feel stymied. I'm not getting anywhere fast enough. And I say to the Spirit, I wish you'd prescribe a method of expediting my understanding of the infinite way, of speeding it up, deepening my understanding, and so on. And then you're wondering, well, now, is Spirit listening to me? I mean, I just can't talk and expect Spirit to hear every word. What has Spirit got to do with mortals? And that's right. What has Spirit got to do with mortals? So you say, well, then I've got to speak spiritual language. But I don't know the language. Now, certainly, Spirit has a method of teaching you, and you've got to learn how that method is in order to enter into a relationship with Spirit. Then it all boils down to, you've got to be in the Spirit to learn from the Spirit. You can't be a mortal being asking questions of Spirit and expecting Spirit to deliver answers. You've got to be a Spirit. And you have one advantage. That's who you are, and you've got to act like the one you are instead of like the one you're not. Now, when Spirit hears from Spirit, how do I enter into deeper meditations or anything of that nature, you'd be surprised how the answers come to you. So the first step in phrasing a question to Spirit is to renounce your mortality for the while, at least. You've got to realize that a mortal cannot speak to Spirit. If you want Spirit to hear you, you'll have to first transform. And transforming is very simple. You get out of human thought. And that's difficult for some people because they have to be still to be out of human thought. And yet, when they're still, something takes the place of that stillness. And that something is going to be Spirit. So before you question Spirit, please take 2 or 3 minutes of silence. Do it again. Do it several times until you feel that you are sufficiently spiritual in content and you've emptied out a way so that there's no confusion, no conflict, and now you are the Spirit speaking to the Spirit or thinking with the Spirit, and you're saying, Father, I want to be your son more than anything in the world. Now I would like to know what to do in this case or in that case. And I would like to solve my problems spiritually. I would like to do everything spiritually. And you may think, well, nobody's hearing me. But you'll find after a while that your words landed in a place where they could do the most good. And you'll find your invisible self is shaping an answer to the questions you have asked. And that shaping of the answers comes out as a physical act, a new book, a new place to go and study, new friends, and immediately, in various ways, you are answered by the Spirit which knoweth your needs. But remember, never start the conversation without first being transformed to your spiritual identity. Spirit hears spirit. That's important to know. And if you make strides of progress that are beyond your belief, it will be wonderful, and you will be able to then give some good advice to other people who are on a spiritual path. To be spirit is to be first not in the human chain of thought. To be quiet, to wait for the still small voice. When it doesn't come, be patient, try again. When it doesn't come, try again. You've got to establish a contact. You've got to hear that voice. Usually it isn't so quick that you can say, I can do it instantly. But you'll find that in a daytime, when you have a meditation and then another one, somehow something happens cumulatively. And you may find that 4 hours later, for some reason, you feel like you're in the spirit. Whereas when you started out, you didn't. And then you find at the end of the day, you have had a spiritual experience. Now, when this is repeated again and again and again, you find it happens quicker. You won't have to go through various transformations that you think you're going through. You can go directly to the Spirit and it will speak to you. You can wake up in the morning and before you open your eyes, Spirit's talking to you. It takes a while to catch on, but when it catches on, it won't let go. Now, when you have a spiritual companion within you, what's going to stop you? The Spirit knows everything. So establish that spiritual companion. Give it any name you want. Some people don't even have a name for it. They just know it's myself. Whether you say it's the Spirit of Enoch returned to me, or pick anyone you want, whatever it identifies itself to be, or if it's my own spirit, you can't live without it, believe me. You just go round in circles doing human things. So everyone needs a spiritual companion, whether it's the identity of themselves or the identity of others. If you're trying to live without your spiritual companion, you'll be finding many lonely times. Now, when you have a spiritual companion, remember, you have certain responsibilities. When you act out of spirit, instantly your spiritual companion is gone, and maybe for a short while, maybe for a long while, depending on the degree to which you acted out of spirit. I can imagine a man living a certain way that spirit would have nothing to do with. Automatically, it'd be hard for that man to get back into the spirit. But living a certain way, knowing that the Spirit is always with me, gives you a great deal of confidence. A confidence that you find is either misplaced or is placed correctly. And if it's placed correctly, if you have obeyed what Spirit expected you to obey, you'll find the answers are deep and satisfying. You can always depend on them. It doesn't have to be very formal. You start to think, what am I going to do? And the right idea comes to you, and it's motivated spiritually. Or you have a puzzling problem, a life problem, you might say, something that will determine your direction. It'll take a while, but it comes to you in a different way. Sometimes the answer isn't a direct answer. The answer can come to you in any way that Spirit knows. You might find suddenly you're moving. You might find that you're changing occupations, or you're changing friends, or changing relationships. And it's all an answer to your question, but it may not appear so to you. Until one day, the fruition of that spiritual question you asked comes to head, and you realize it's been answered. It was answered these 3 months. The way it went about its answer was unusual, but it was answering my question. Now, you should know that you have this friend in spirit. And it's more than a friend. It's with you every moment. You should never feel alone under any circumstances, because Spirit is always with you. Now, I say it can be your spirit, it can be another spirit, because they're all one spirit, you see. Now, this spirit, for instance, might be inclined to help in your art venture, whereas another spirit might be more proficient in something else. So you might change off spirits from time to time too. But you've got to have a spiritual contact in whatever you do to do it right, until you yourself are able to move spiritually. That's a transference of human methods. It's a reliance on the invisible activity of Spirit. And always the invisible activity of Spirit is guided by the one human, the one major divine source. The God of all is the Father of Spirit. And even though you may not be talking to God directly, when you talk to Spirit, you're talking to God. Every divine fact, every divine assistant comes from the one same source. Now, we have these helps. And those who have used them know the reality of these helps. And they know that these invisible helpers, called Divine Spirit, are always working for the betterment of those they help. They cannot do wrong. Unless you happen to get a brain idea, and you're tuned into the wrong area, you'll find you can do very wrong. Now, all this is a soul activity. You can talk to Spirit through your brain. How do you do soul activity? These are simple tools that you must learn. You've got to have a soul activity to talk to Spirit. God can't hear the human mouth or the vocal cords. It's that extra dimension. Now you've got to figure out how to use it, how to find it, how to live in it. And the only way you can figure it out is not by something I tell you. Because you cannot borrow. You've got to work with your own soul. Your soul is a God activity. You've got to get out of your mind to do it. And then when you're out of your mind, no one is going to advise you on soul activity, because you'll be in soul. It knows where to go, what to do. You're transferring your operations from the world of mind and matter to your soul, and you still say, where is my soul? How do I get my soul to work? You'll find the answer when you stop using your mind. That which is trying to get through will find its interference has been removed. Now, if you've accomplished nothing but learning where your soul is in the total invisible, your soul is not a size, you don't have size F or size B or size C, your soul is the invisible universe. So is mine. Your soul is without limitation in size or in capacity. And everyone has access to their soul. But you've got to get within and stop thinking. You've got to feel it. You've got to know it. And finally, you've got to be it. You'll find your living soul is your reality. You are the living soul. While you're seeking to find it, you're pushing it away. Your soul only comes from the deepest silence. As you dwell deeply in the divine silence, something steals into your consciousness. And this will become what you utilize in your efforts to meet those who are of kinship with you, those who are walking where you are walking, and to meet those ideas in the spiritual world that are the food for a full life. I'm trying to make you go inside. People have certain ideas that they are stuck with. They think, I like this and I like that. I don't like this and I don't like that. They go inside, and those ideas never enter their mind. They don't even think about them. Their likes and dislikes all disappear. In the soul realm, you find a different you than you have known. You find a you that has a capacity for things you have not known you were adept at. You find the tendencies of your soul are so far outweigh the tendencies of your mind that you say, why didn't somebody tell me about this before? I have 1,000 possibilities. There was Peter, the last man on earth you'd ever figure for a soul individual. He was converted. He must have seen something that he was missing and that he wanted. Maybe he saw it in his friends. Maybe in certain qualities that appealed to him. But this man never had an idea that he could be an invisible being. It would have been ridiculous to even suggest it to him. Come on, I'm not going to be an invisible being. I'm Peter the fisherman. I'm a tough character, you know. I'm all bone and muscle. Would he recognize what he became? And how could he become that? Now, we say it only took 3 years in the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we have been in this 10, 15, 20, 30. Look how long it takes us. Do you think that if we walked with Jesus Christ, it would be possible in 3 years to convert from a hardy fisherman to a soul being? Those are the facts. Why would it take 3 years to convince me to try? So you see, it isn't what you are, who you are, what you're accustomed to. It's what you decide you're going to be. And when you find a sufficient motivation to find the soul universe, whatever the motivation might be, when it happens, in 3 years, one man learned how to walk spiritually out of this world. And it wasn't a very good prospect either. So never think for a moment that it's a difficulty. It's only a difficulty for the one who is fighting it all the way. John walked in pretty close to the beginning when he had these tendencies in him. It takes a short while when you're concentrating on the direction and the truth, and when your feelings run high, and it helps to have a good teacher. You've got to have someone you walk with and respect. The lone wolves work a little harder. Believe me, when you have a tape group, you find one or two in there who are devoted to the word, and you can mesh gears with them, you do much better. And when you do it all alone, find no help from anyone else, no rhythm, So look up tape groups in your community. If you don't have one, start one. Get to be the center of something with that driving inner force. Go within and stay there. Whatever you come out with will give you a new direction and a new depth, regardless of your age, young or old. There ought to be a tape group in every reasonable community. And if you can't find many in yours, and it's a small community, a tape group is formed of two people. Maybe you'll get three or four. But two people who know the truth are doing better than one. They always help each other. Become not only immersed in your own desires, but in your friends, your community. Become the center. Become the Christ activity in your community in whatever you do. Being the center of that activity makes you a very important person, because Christ will control your life, and the lives of many people around you will be enriched. It will tell you what to do with children. It will tell you what to do with the older folks, what they expect and what they need spiritually. It will guide you in every step of the way. We're going to find that the work from this point is going to accelerate. It will accelerate in many ways, and you will find it so in your private life. You will find people coming to you for help that you hadn't expected. Because once you become a spiritual being, not a friendly fellow, not a nice fellow, not the sweetest guy in the world, but a spiritual being. Once you convert to spirit, you become a hub. Spirit will use you. It will use you as a hub. And that's how you'll know you're in spirit. When spirit is the essence of your being, there will be a force created, an invisible force drawing others to you. And you like that force, because when they draw others to you, there will be something that you need too. You will need that force working toward you as well as away from you. This is an appeal to learn that the nature of your being is spirit. You can't get enough of it. Too long we have waited. Now, while you're working as spirit, you may not notice it, but you're not working in time. You're doing nothing about consciously stepping out of time. You're working in spirit. But that takes you out of time. And so there's less of an obstruction, less of an illusion, more of an influence, and then you are finally finding that in your quiet way, you are doing as much your community, your country, your world, as the disciples of Jesus were doing. too many of us are not needed. And we're not needed because we have nothing to offer. We're too busy giving advice. People need our spirit. Let them have it. You've got all you need to spare. It's running overboard. Let people see your spirit. Give them your spirit. Share your spirit. Live in the spirit. You are very necessary when you are living in your spirit. In a way, this class goes high, but it comes down to fundamentals. We're converting every individual we can into the knowledge that spirit is his substance and his life. Nothing else about him is truth. You'll walk out into a world which knows little about the spirit, but you walk out silently, and what you do is motivated by spirit, and it will conquer the world. Let us meditate now, our final meditation for the seminar. And let us in our meditation know that I am the living Spirit of God. I will always be, a million years from now, exactly what I am. Perhaps more so if I learn how to let my spirit flow without neglecting it, turning my back on it, misusing it, or trying to misuse it, that I am a spiritual being. I do not live in a lifetime. I live an eternity. That to be a spiritual being, I must fulfill my responsibilities. So I am a spiritual being in my conception, in my understanding, in my appreciation of what life is all about. I'm not it for 23 and a half hours a day, but for 24. There is no time in my life. I have grown beyond the belief in time. Spirit overflows all there is. And my spirit is here, but it is also around the corner. My spirit is up the street. My spirit is in the sky. My spirit is right where the whirlwind was. Nobody saw it. But my spirit was there and is there. Wherever there is any space, my spirit is. Wherever there is no space, my spirit is. Wherever the world is, my spirit is. I am omnipresent spirit. I personally am really omnipresent spirit. And my friend is too. My friend is my spirit, and I am my friend's spirit, because we are the only spirit there is. I am that spirit, and I share that knowledge with every I there is. And you are I. You are the I of the child, the I of the adult, even the eye of the corpse. You are I everywhere. And if you don't forget it, your eye will see you through every situation in the spiritual universe. There are no places in the spiritual universe where I is not welcome. If you see a situation which has in it the appearance of being an unfriendly situation, convert it to I. You are momentarily unaware of the identity of the situation. All that is there is I, the living Spirit of God. On the crowded freeway, I am. You see cars, but in your moment of illumination, as you realize that all there is I, you find the cars are moving in a different pace, in a different harmony. And try it if you don't believe it. Just your realization of spiritual presence. Everything changes to a pattern, moves to a rhythm. Whether it's the sky or the ocean, I move into tomorrow's day, the one behind the activity that I put forth is the invisible I. My spirit will move my vacuum cleaner tomorrow, but it won't move the vacuum cleaner. It doesn't know there's a vacuum cleaner, but it is the energy of me moving the vacuum cleaner. It is the energy of the Spirit of the Lord that moves me through the day. And therefore, I will not be tired. When I am tired, I have moved on human energy. When I am tireless, I have used divine energy. Try it. See for yourself. When I use divine energy, my problems are quickly dispatched. When I use human energy, some of the problems remain. Try it. Use divine energy. Find that level which goes beneath the mind, which wells up into the mind, and you will find that your energy is unlimited. You have power. You have unlimited spiritual power. You'll use some of it, and you'll say, well, that's enough for today. Well, maybe that's good sense. But you'll find you have enough energy to do what you must do before you are finished with it. Whatever you have to do, you will find your spiritual energy will fulfill that requirement. Whatever you have to do that is not spiritual, that is in the human world, you cannot expect your spiritual energy to do. You've got to find the line which says this is a needless task and this is a required task. Now you may be on a job somewhere where you're doing a lot of needless tasks. Spirit will recognize your need. The line between spirit and mental energy is a very subtle one. But you can be sure that spirit understands. Transfer your activities, if possible, to spiritual doing, and you'll find that you are not the tired, worn-out individual that you appear to be at times. You can look at certain people and you know, why don't they ever get tired? For the simple reason that they find a great joy in doing the things they're doing because they're fulfilling a spiritual need for themselves as well as for others. They can't tire that way. So I'm waking up in the morning and I'm going to bed with the knowledge that Spirit is here. Spirit's going to bed. Spirit's waking me up. Spirit's taking the day in over tomorrow. All my activities will fly out from that spiritual knowledge. But if I forget tonight, and I wake up in the same mental attitude as I went to bed with, and just take a little while longer before you find the spiritual center again. And ultimately, you should reach the place where your spiritual center has displaced all other activity. To your surprise, you'll find you really believe and know that you are Spirit. I won't say give it 30 days, because it can be done sooner than that. Try to remember that what you do spiritually will live with you and be there when you have finished the task, and ultimately, it will supplant your belief that you are not Spirit. When you find you are Spirit and can't get out of the belief, you'll be a different self than the one you are. Well, our God experience for the moment, we'll have to stop at this point, but the God experience continues at every point in our lives if we walk in the Spirit. I wish you a pleasant journey home. Thank you for coming. And I hope we have touched each other's lives to some degree, and we'll touch each other again. Thank you.